New year, same event, but new gadgets. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. CES is underway in Las Vegas. The Consumer Electronics Event is the annual gathering of tech companies large and small, developers, journalists, and policymakers. Jennifer Pattison-Tui is at the convention right now. She covers smart home technology for The Verge and has been checking out all the new gadgets and announcements on that beat.
One of the most important new changes in the smart home is a brand new standard called Matter. And this is basically a way to make the smart home a much easier, simpler solution for people who aren't really deep into tech and, you know, connected devices. There's a lot of chatter around it here. Many companies announcing their products working with Matter. And basically all Matter is a language for the smart home. And it was developed by Apple, Amazon, Google, Samsung, and a whole host of companies who all got together and said, you know, we need to work together to make the smart home an easier place for everyone to use and enjoy.
Now, all of this Matter technology, what about everybody who has a lot of smart home devices already? Do they have to start from scratch?
So that's been something that we've all been watching carefully, because the early promise with Matter, which is what has been developed by an organization called the Connectivity Standards Alliance, they've been working really hard so that we won't have to all go buy new products. But unfortunately, it looks like that's not going to be the case. There's going to be some opportunities to what's called bridge existing products into your smart home. So Philips Hue, they've announced that their existing products will work with Matter. So that's great. But then a lot of companies announce products at CES this year. For example, GE Lighting has a line called Sync of lighting products, and they're saying that only their new products will work with Matter. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But one of the great things about Matter from a tech journalist perspective is that it's going to really open up the smart home to people who aren't already invested in it, because to date, it has been complicated and confusing.
When you talk about smart homes, there are also a lot of things that technology can enable in people's homes in regards to accessibility, whether that be because you are living with a physical disability or even if you're trying to age in place. What sort of technology have you seen along those lines?
So that is a really interesting area. One thing in particular that I've seen here is using Wi-Fi sensing. So if you have Wi-Fi routers in your house, which most people do, the Wi-Fi waves can detect bodies of water, i.e. people. And so if they detect one falling, they can send an alert to a smartphone or even to a monitoring service and say, you know, we've detected a fall. And this is a much less obtrusive type of technology than, say, having a camera in someone's house to check in on them.
Now, all of that is sort of hardware and definitely might be affecting the way that we live in our homes and other places moving forward. What about software? We've had a lot of discussion this year around AI, cloud computing, and cybersecurity. How's all that showing up at CES this year?
So obviously, one of the main components of any smart solution in your home is the software that powers it. And I think one of the biggest benefits, and actually something that I'm seeing a lot of companies really pushing this year, is understanding why having connectivity is important, why having the software and the cloud service that supports, say, your thermostat or your motion sensing systems that are going to see if someone's fallen in your home. Why do you need that connectivity? Because obviously there's concerns around privacy and data, and people, rightly so, want to know that their homes are private and secure. And so one of the big benefits about this type of software and over-the-air updates and the cloud is that the device that you bought 2 years ago, for example, today has more features and does more interesting, innovative things to help you than it did when you bought it. And you can't really say that about most appliances in your home. And that's another really kind of key area that I've been seeing in CES this year, is addressing e-waste. You know, there's a lot of these gadgets in our homes. And unfortunately, tech has sort of developed over the last sort of decade or so, something of a disposable mindset. You know, we get a new phone every 2 years. You know, we might get a new laptop every couple of years. But devices we put in our homes, they need to be in our homes for a decade or more, ideally. You know, we don't want people replacing their thermostats or their door locks every couple of years. So there's been a real kind of focus on showing the benefits of cloud connectivity, because it's going to keep your device working better and longer in your home and help prevent us generating more of this electronic waste.
Now, CES would not be CES without a little splash of quirky technology. What's been your favorite bit of unusual tech that you've seen so far?
One really kind of quirky one, but actually has a lot of benefits and ties into aging in place we were discussing. Y-Things, a company that is known for sort of medical related devices, has come out with a smart urine monitor, which you put in your toilet. This will send you information about your health, you know, how hydrated you are and what other kind of issues you might be able to detect through a urine test. Obviously, it's not an actual medical test, but it's giving you some sort of baseline and some information that you could share with your doctor. One of my favorite actual kind of, I would actually go out and buy this, but it's still slightly quirky, is the Bird Buddy, which is a bird feeder.
Oh.
It has an AI camera built in. When a hummingbird comes to the feeder, it captures a video of it and it will send you an alert and tell you exactly what type of hummingbird it is, which oh. I just love that, you know, being able to connect to nature without being intrusive. That's a really fun one.
My mother would love that.
Yeah. Technology often makes us feel a bit disconnected from nature. So I really like having something that kind of helps bring it into your home in a way, because you can watch it on your TV and it's kind of neat. That's a fun one.
Jennifer Pattison-Tui is a tech reporter at The Verge. Jesus Alvarado, Rosie Hughes, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe and Brian Allison are our engineers this week. Amanda Peacher is the interim senior producer. And a special thanks to Eve Epstein, who helped edit our segments this week. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.